Welcome to a special bonus episode of Hot Off the Wire. In this edition of our daily news program, we feature a selection of stories covering a variety of topics. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, those stories from the Associated Press.
Citing threats from nuclear war, climate change, potential misuse of biotechnology, artificial intelligence, and the global political environment, the Bulletin of Atomic Scientists has moved the doomsday clock ever closer to midnight. Daniel Holds is chair of the group's Science and Security Board.
The doomsday clock is now at 85 seconds to midnight, the closest it has been in the history of the clock.
The group says that since last year, global understandings are collapsing.
If the world splinters into an us versus them, zero-sum approach, it increases the likelihood that we all lose.
The advocacy group began using a clock in 1947 to symbolize the potential of people doing something that could end humanity. Over the years, the group has changed from counting down the minutes to counting down the seconds. Businesses are becoming stuck in the crosshairs of President Donald Trump's mass deportation campaign, whether it's public pressure for them to speak out against aggressive immigration enforcement or becoming sites for the arrest themselves. Earlier this month, there was video of federal agents detaining two Target employees in Minnesota. ICE has rounded up day laborers in Home Depot parking lots and delivery workers on the street nationwide. ICE officers can enter public areas of businesses without a warrant, but still need a judicial warrant for private spaces. On Sunday, after the U.S. Border Patrol shot and killed Alex Pretty in Minneapolis, more than 60 CEOs of Minnesota-based companies have signed an open letter calling for an immediate de-escalation of tensions. The Justice Department has now opened a federal civil rights investigation into the death of Alex Pretty after he was shot and killed by Border Patrol officers in Minneapolis. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche.
We're looking at everything that would shed light on what happened that day and in the days and weeks leading up to what happened.
In a Fox interview Thursday, Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem seemed to distance herself from statements she made shortly after the shooting, claiming Pretty had brandished a handgun and had aggressively approached officers. Multiple videos of the shooting contradict that claim, showing Pretty was only holding his mobile phone in his hand as officers tackled him to the ground, with one removing a handgun from the back of Pretty's pants as another officer began firing shots into his back. I'm Lisa Dwyer.
The Justice Department said it has resumed releasing more material from its Jeffrey Epstein files under a law intended to show what the government knew about Epstein's actions. The department says it's putting out 3 million pages of documents plus thousands of images and videos.
Today's release marks the end of a very comprehensive document identification and review process to ensure transparency to the American people.
Though Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche acknowledged it may not be enough for many.
There's a hunger or a thirst for information that I do not think will be satisfied by the review of these documents.
There's been intense public speculation about what information the government had about Epstein's dealings with the rich and powerful, including Donald Trump, and whether it would hold back incriminating material. Blanche says it's not.
We did not protect President Trump. We didn't protect or not protect anybody.
Sagar Meghani, Washington.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Kachava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Kachava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at kachava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Kachava, KACHAVA.com, code NEWS.
Life expectancy in the U.S. has reached the highest level in the nation's history. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention report life expectancy rose to 79 years in 2024. The increase is due not only to the easing of the COVID-19 pandemic, but also to declining death rates from heart disease, cancer, and drug overdoses, some of the nation's top killers. Preliminary statistics suggest a continued improvement in 2025. Life expectancy is an estimate of the average number of years a baby born in a given year might expect to live, based on death rates at that time. It's also a fundamental measure of a population's health.
The Westminster Kennel Club marks its 150th dog show this year in New York City, running from January 31st to February 3rd. President Donald Sturz says it's got a storied history.
There was a small group of gentlemen who had some sporting breeds who got together at the Westminster Hotel in 1876. The Westminster Hotel was down on 16th Street in Irving Place. They were kind of comparing their dogs and telling tall tales, you know, about their dogs' prowesses. And they decided what better way to sort it all out but to let's have a competition.
He says the following year they put together a dog show called Gilmore's Gardens with about 1,200 dogs.
It was a huge success, heralded in the press. It was a big deal.
The top dog at the Westminster Dog Show will be crowned February 3rd at Madison Square Garden. Since the Westminster Kennel Club introduced its Masters Agility Championship in 2014, emphasizing canine movement over appearance, Border Collies have sprinted, swerved, and soared past the competition. Last year's champion handler, Emily Klarman, explains why.
Them being able to bend over jumps and run over the dog walk is a little bit easier for them than maybe like a pug would be. So they're able to physically and mentally navigate through the course a little bit easier than some other dogs might be able to.
She's not competing this year. Her champion dog from last year, Vanish, is now pregnant, but she is still training other border collies like Swish.
Puppy, puppy.
The 150th Westminster Dog Show runs from January 31st, when the agility contest is held, to February 3rd, when Best in Show is crowned. Julie Walker, New York.
The towns of Colorado City, Arizona, and neighboring Hilldale, Utah, along state lines, are not what they were just 9 years ago. Now there are weekend soccer games, basketball games, and community get-togethers. The towns used to be controlled by the polygamous sect FLDS, the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and its leader and prophet, Warren Jeffs. They were cut off from outsiders in their walled compounds. Polygamous marriages were arranged, many involving underage girls. Donya Jessup is the current mayor of Hilldale.
Warren had taken the word my out of the vocabulary. And so it wasn't my house, my car, my food. It was the prophet's house, the prophet's car, the prophet's food.
Now Warren Jeffs is serving a life sentence in prison for sexually assaulting two girls. That's when in 2017, the court placed the towns under supervision, excising the church from their government and shared police department. And supervision of a trust that controlled the church's real estate was turned over to a community board. Now Colorado City and Hilldale are just normal towns. So normal that last summer they were released from court-ordered supervision, nearly 2 years earlier than expected.
For the first time, we own our own land. Before, it was all owned by the UEP, the United Effort Plan, which was the church.
Isaac Weiler is former FLDS church spokesperson.
I don't think 15 years ago you could have just drove into town and felt comfortable calling somebody and just going and having a conversation with them. Today, I don't think anybody would think that was abnormal, but 15 years ago, that wasn't standard.
But with becoming normal towns, Weiler says there are new concerns.
That opens the door for things like crime and drugs and things that the community had never seen or knew anything about. It was kind of blindsided with some of those issues.
But Weiler says now there is religious diversity and more of an openness.
We call it life after Jeff's, and frankly, it's a great life.
I'm Donna Water.
Leaders from Canada, the UK, Finland, and other countries have recently visited China, while more are planning to go in a major shift to the world order since President Donald Trump took office again. A round of applause after the UK and Chinese governments sign a raft of business announcements and government agreements in Beijing. This is one of many recent examples of some of America's closest allies exploring opportunities with China. The warming of relations with China comes following clashes with Trump over tariffs and his demands to take over Greenland from NATO ally Denmark. The countries are resetting relations with China, which is long seen as the top economic rival to the US, despite the risk of irking Trump. This week alone, the prime ministers of the UK and Finland went to meet Chinese President Xi Jinping. I'm Karen Chamas.
A judge says federal prosecutors cannot seek the death penalty for the man charged with killing UnitedHealthcare's CEO. The district judge in New York has dismissed a federal murder charge against Luigi Mangione in Brian Thompson's killing, ruling it was technically flawed. Mangione still faces stalking charges that could earn him life in prison if convicted. The ruling foils the Trump administration's bid to execute Mangione for what it calls the premeditated, cold-blooded assassination of Thompson 15 months ago. President Trump has vowed to resume federal executions after the Biden administration halted them. Sagar Magani, Washington.
A newborn calf, later named Sally, born in frigid temperatures in Kentucky, has now become a bit famous after her family posted some cute photos of Sally. After losing a calf last winter, Macy Sorrell says the family brought Sally inside.
She was frozen. Her umbilical cord looked like a popsicle.
The family then got to work.
The afterbirth was still on her, so I had to wipe all that off and took a blow dryer and warmed her up, you know, and got her all fluffed out.
All fluffed and dried, Sally snuggled in with the family's two young children on the couch. Macy says while it's not unusual to bring livestock in if needed, this one was special.
You see a cow in the house, that's nothing special. But whenever it's up on the couch, cuddling, you know, your three-year-old, so it puts a smile on your face.
As for Sally's future,
she's a permanent resident.
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
In Bonham, Texas,
I watched all of them struggle.
Brothers aged 6, 8, and 9 fell through the ice on a pond Monday. Cheyenne Hangeman is their mother.
I ran across as much ice as I could to get to them and eventually ended up falling in myself.
She says she tried to pull them out of the water.
But the ice just kept breaking every time I would set them up there, and I would just keep trying to go to each one of them, trying to help them. And it was only me.
Hangeman said a man eventually arrived on the scene and was able to throw her a rope and pull her out.
I couldn't breathe. I couldn't move. By that time, I knew that my kids were already gone. So I just had to try to fight for my life at that point.
Hangeman says she and her children had been staying at a friend's house across the street from the pond and that she'd warned them not to go near it.
It can happen to you. Don't think it can't.
All three boys' bodies have been recovered. I'm Ben Thomas.
The massive winter storm did provide some chances for fun. On the famed Rocky Steps in Philadelphia.
My dad told me that this is a bucket list activity. I've never done it before.
While in New York, Joel Aloma caught Olympic champ Shaun White pulling off snowboard tricks. Here outside the nation's capital, schools were closed, sleds were out. It was a good day for kids. For parents, though, there was still work to do, like chipping ice off windshields. Sagar Magani, Washington.
With a large swath of the country covered in snow, social media is abuzz with ideas on how to make snow cream while supporting the fun of snow. Dr. Sarah Crockett cautions that those in rural areas might have cleaner snow than those living in urban areas or near industrial pollution.
I would kind of associate how clean is your snow.
Crockett also says that timing is another consideration, with the first wave of snow holding the most particulate matter.
And so it might be good to kind of let that first layer collect and not rush out.
And to use a bit of common sense, such as avoiding yellow snow, which may be tainted by tree bark or urine. Also, stay away from snow pushed by snowplows packed with road salt, de-icing chemicals, and debris. In short,
make sure your snow is clean before 87-year-old Nancy Dillon spent 3 days without heat or power on her family farm in the rural outskirts of Nashville before electricity was restored.
My Eve lights off and on to let them know that I appreciated what they had done.
Dillon used her wood-burning fireplace sparingly and was able to cook, but likens her experience to an 18th century Jane Eyre novel. After a couple of days, her phone battery was dying and discovered that her backup battery pack wasn't working.
That's when I got a little bit of alarmed because, you know, if I were to fall, if I were to need somebody, there would be no way to get help.
But she discovered a trick.
My iPad charged it. Did you know that?
Dillon lives on top of a hill and says she won't be leaving the house anytime soon.
I've got plenty of books. I'm getting out a 1,000-piece puzzle in a few minutes, and I might clean up the house a little bit. Who knows?
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Virginia Oliver, one of the world's oldest lobster fishers in the world, has died in Maine. She was 105. Oliver had been in the lobster business since she was 8. That's almost a century.
Well, I band the lobster and I measure them. Then I put them in the tank.
Oliver spoke to the AP 5 years ago. She was out with her then 78-year-old son on their boat named after her, Virginia. She had other jobs, but the lobster lady couldn't stay away.
I used to be a stitcher, you know, at a pants factory, and where they made pants, you know, bathrobes. So I like out there better.
Her family says Virginia Oliver remained quiet and humble, greeting everyone with a quick, radiant smile and eyes that literally twinkled. I'm Ed Donahue.
Hey, this is Russell Wilson. This is Joe Montana.
This is Dak Prescott.
Hey, this is Jason Kelce, and you're listening to Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Rob Motti.
Welcome to All Football. I'm Rob Motti. Super Bowl 60 is set. New England Patriots against the Seattle Seahawks, a rematch from 11 years ago when the Patriots beat Seattle after Russell Wilson threw an interception from the one-yard line in the final minute. I was there. Everybody's still wondering and waiting for Marshawn Lynch to get the ball at the one-yard line. We'll talk more about the game next week when I'm live in San Francisco. This week, we don't have pro picks, so we have two special guests, Jaguars head coach Liam Cohn and New York Giants rookie quarterback Jackson Dart. Stay tuned for those conversations. Biggest news in the NFL this week is that Bill Belichick is not going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. ESPN reported that he did not get the required 40 votes out of 50 to make it in his first year of eligibility. Bill Belichick won 6 Super Bowls as a head coach with the Patriots, 2 as an assistant with the Giants. He has more Super Bowl rings than anyone in the history of the NFL. If his resume is not Hall of Fame worthy on the first try, whose is? Liam Cohn went to Jacksonville after one season as the offensive coordinator in Tampa Bay, where he helped Baker Mayfield have a career season, and he quickly turned the Jaguars around, led them to 13 wins, an AFC South championship. He is a finalist for the AP NFL Coach of the Year Award. Just to come into Jacksonville, take over a team from where they were, and turn them into a playoff team, a division champion, to have the success you did, what does it mean that you would be even considered for Coach of the Year, Liam?
Yeah, it's a great question. To even be in the consideration is an honor itself, right? I grew up in coaching. My whole life's been about football, and that's all I've ever known and really was exposed to at a very young age, and very thankful for my father, Tim, to be able to be a great guidance for me throughout my whole life, really, and journey to lead up into this point, and to work with so many great coaches and to do it with Tony Boselli and James Gladstone, to come in and take a 4-13 team to 13-4 in your first year is definitely a turnaround for sure that you were excited about being a part of. And now the work really gets started at this point.
When you take over that team and you know the roster and the talent and what they have, is there a point where you kind of look at it and go, I've got something here that I could turn like this quickly? Like it's a difficult task. And I know other coaches have done it. Vrabel's done it this year in New England. Ben Johnson's done it in Chicago. But how early did you recognize, Liam, that you had that kind of talent that you can make something like this happen?
Yeah, it was. This was the only job that I was fortunate enough to interview for, and this was the job that I wanted. This was the one that you looked at and said, okay, when you've got a quarterback in this league, you've got a shot, right? And very fortunate to be able to work with Trevor on a day-to-day basis. And he was so cool about the getting started and working through the process of learning the new system, pouring himself and his work into it and the way that he approached it on a day-to-day basis. And then you've got some pieces, right? We've got multiple players on the defensive side of the football that have made huge impacts over the course of their NFL careers. And some guys that, you know, just needed to have a next step in their career, take a next step to help us get to ultimately where we were able to go this year. And so you looked at the roster and we're excited about some of the pieces. And then I think James did a great job of adding some of the guys in free agency through the draft, obviously. And then also during the season when we were able to acquire Jacoby Myers, which really helped our offense take off.
You know what it's like to take a quarterback who, with Baker Mayfield in Tampa Bay, who's got a ton of talent and just elevate their game. What exactly does that entail when somebody's got that talent, but maybe it's just, it hasn't been maximized yet?
Just trying to pour into them as much as possible and let them feel that, right? Feel the belief, feel the amount of time, brain power, work that goes into trying to help a quarterback play to the best of his abilities, right? And so much of that is timing and circumstances and the circumstances around that player. And so how much are you pouring into not only Trevor and the fundamentals, technique, footwork, brain power that goes into coaching the quarterback, but also are you making his life and his job easier when he does have the opportunity, right? So not every throw is a gotta have it. Not every third down is a gotta have it. And so you allow him to go play freely knowing that, well, he trusts the process around him. He trusts the offensive line to protect for that much longer. He trusts the run game to where he can hand it off, gain the yards to keep the defense off balance. So much of that goes into helping a quarterback reach his potential. And so many of these guys, the best ones, they want all the tools, right? They want all the protection pieces and tools. They want all the answers so that they can go out and solve problems, right? I mean, so much of this position is living in the gray, but trying to make that as black and white as possible. And so when you're able to provide the tools, give them the freedom to fail, especially early on during mini camp, training camp, preseason, and we loaded them up pretty good. And ultimately, I think those guys really want that leadership and command.
I love to ask successful leaders what it takes to be a successful leader in your mind. What does that take? I coach flag football. I coach my daughters in flag football. And as you're talking right there, I've impressed upon one of my girls is the quarterback, and I've impressed upon her so much not to throw interceptions that she's not taking enough risks downfield.
There you go.
And as you just said that, it just clicked for me. I'm like, I just air it out a little bit. But
yeah, Rob, we had a similar conversation with Trevor after our Houston loss. We 20-point lead in the fourth quarter. We lost that game, and after that game, we had a lot of conversations with a lot of players in the team, but Trevor specifically was really trying to run the offense, take care of the football, all the things that we do ask of our quarterbacks to do, but really it was about, man, just go cut it loose and let it rip, and dude, be you. And I think that's really my answer about leadership is, when you get into any of these roles and responsibilities and leadership roles, regardless if you're a head coach of the flag football team or if you're a head coach of an NFL team, you got that position because somebody obviously believed in you to be in that position. And so what I would say is just be you, you know, be yourself, because your authentic self, your most truest authentic self is usually when you're living, in gratitude. And that allows you to continue to be the best version of yourself and to attack each and every day with that mindset and mentality. And look, you're able to learn from so many people in this world, especially in this profession. I've been very fortunate to work with some great coaches, and you take something from all of them, right? Well, but it really comes down to being you and being yourself. And I think that that's something that's really helped our leadership group and myself throughout this, you know, this first season.
Jackson Dart had an impressive rookie season with the New York Giants, the first round pick, despite some injuries and missing some time, and starting the season as a backup quarterback, played well enough to earn a finalist spot for the AP NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year Award. Jackson, congratulations on being an AP NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year finalist. You had a great season. You went through a lot of ups and downs. What does it mean to you to even be considered for this award?
Definitely something to be excited about. You know, I think that you hit it on the head. Like, there was a lot of adversity that went into my rookie year, you know, from, you know, head coach being fired to, you know, a lot of injuries around me and whatnot. But, you know, I think that when you look at the grand scheme of things, obviously you want to win more games, and that's what we're going to do moving forward. But there's definitely a lot of things to build off of going into the future.
There's this crazy stat. A lot of coaches have been fired in their first season with a first-round pick quarterback, and a lot of those QBs end up having success with the next coach. Have you talked to anyone along the way as you try and navigate through this process right now?
You know, there hasn't been too many people that I've talked to, just because, you know, I don't want to get into the comparisons of people's careers and their experiences. I think it's definitely, you know, good to reach out and have words of wisdom from that standpoint. I also think that I've, you know, from just an offseason standpoint of, you know, the other quarterbacks that I'm around, my quarterback coaches, you know, I feel like they've seen it all. They've been a part of so many just different situations, a lot of chaos. And, you know, I think those guys have been the ones who I've really relied on to weather certain storms. And I'm definitely, you know, really optimistic about the future. And, you know, Coach Harbaugh coming in and, you know, the people that we have, you know, in the organization. So from that standpoint, I'm really excited.
I've known Coach Harbaugh since he was a special teams coordinator way back in Philadelphia. He's one of the best leaders I've ever been around. How excited are you to play for him, Jackson?
I can't wait. I've had a lot of conversations with Coach before he had the job finalized, and at points where we were just, you know, talking in a room, and the room had to get dispersed just because of how long that we were talking. So he's a coach that, you know, I just am really excited to play for, from obviously, you know, his resume from a coaching standpoint, but just him as a person. Like you said, like, he's a general. He's a leader of men. And can create a culture. So he's had a winning culture everywhere that he's been and every single year that he's coached. So I can't wait to have that, you know, instilled into our organization and to start stacking more wins.
We often hear the criticism, you got to go down, you got to go out of bounds, you got to try and protect your body. But I can understand, as someone who plays just in rec leagues and men's leagues and is stupid enough to dive head first and do all these dumb things with my body, I know that competitive instinct takes over, and sometimes you're trying to get that first down, or you're trying to get that touchdown. Just how hard is it to balance that, being smart, taking care of your body, and being competitive and going out there and trying to do what's best to win the game for your team?
I think you're absolutely, you hit it. You know, I play this game in a way that, you know, I feel like I'm fearless. I'm going to do whatever it takes to win. You know, in situations, obviously, you have to be smart. And I think that those are just things that I've learned on. I feel like I've gotten a lot better throughout the whole entire season when it came to those, you know, situations of when to and when not to. But at the same time, you know, I'm going to play the game that I've played my whole entire life that's gotten me to this point. And, you know, I feel like I'm not going to change the way that I play just to satisfy somebody's opinion or anything like that. And I think that when you also look at the grand scheme of things, I mean, the last four or five, you know, the last 4 years of my entire career, I've only missed two games. So, you know, when people have the availability conversation, you know, I feel like at the same time, you know, I want to say, just look at my track record. I've been out there for my team, and I've been available and somebody that, you know, a team can depend on. So I think that you just continue to learn, continue to grow. But at the same time, you got to keep playing the game that you play.
Congratulations again. Hope to see you at NFL Honors. You've got an exciting career ahead, and I look forward to seeing it.
Appreciate you, Rob. Thanks for taking the time.
That's it for this week. Thank you to Liam Cohn and Jackson Dart. Thank you for watching and listening to On Football. And thanks to Haya Pinjwani and Guillermo Gonzalez for producing this episode. Please check out apnews.com for more pro picks on football analysis and all NFL news.
South Africa has declared Israel's deputy ambassador persona non grata and ordered him to leave the country within 72 hours. The South African Foreign Ministry said it was expelling Ariel Seidman, the charge d'affaires at the Israeli embassy, because of repeated Israeli social media posts insulting South African President Cyril Ramaphosa. Seidman is the most senior Israeli diplomatic figure in South Africa after Israel recalled its ambassador in 2023. In December 2023, South Africa launched a case at the International Court of Justice alleging Israel is committing genocide in Gaza. The case has since been joined by many other countries, including Brazil, Spain, and Ireland. Later on Friday, Israel responded by expelling South Africa's most senior diplomat. Israel says it will reopen Gaza's border crossing with Egypt in both directions over the weekend. The move, announced on Friday, will allow Palestinians to enter and leave the territory after nearly 2 years of near-complete closure. The Israeli military body in charge of coordinating aid to Gaza said in a statement on Friday that limited movement of people only would be allowed. Among those waiting to cross the border into Egypt is 15-year-old Palestinian teenager Rimas Abu Lahia, who was shot by Israeli gunfire in the leg while at an aid site in Gaza. She told the AP that her greatest wish in life is to get up and walk on her own 2 feet without anyone's help. That wish would only come true by crossing into Egypt for treatment via the Rafah crossing. The reopening of the Rafah crossing on Sunday, which is Gaza's main gateway to the world, will represent a significant step forward for President Trump's Gaza ceasefire plan. I'm Karen Chamas.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.
Whether you're walking barefoot in the snow, escaping for a walk on your lunch break, or trekking halfway across the world for a lush view, it feels good when we unplug and connect to our simpler side. If only our everyday nutrition were that simple. It's time to simplify your wellness routine with Ka'Chava. Getting the nutrition we need from that graveyard of supplements in our cupboards is often overcomplicated. Just 2 scoops of Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake, and you've got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and so much more. Plus, it actually tastes delicious. No fillers, no nonsense. Just the good stuff your body craves. So instead of adding to your backstock of supplements that overpromise and underdeliver, keep it simple with just 2 scoops that have the highest quality ingredients. Simplify your nutrition at kachava.com and use code NEWS. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st. That's Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, code NEWS. From walking barefoot in the snow to hiking for miles for a view, it feels good to connect with our simpler side. Simplifying your wellness with Ka'Chava's all-in-one nutrition shake feels good too. With 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, adaptogens, and more. No fillers, no nonsense, just the highest quality ingredients. New customers get $20 off an order of 2 bags or more now through January 31st when they go to Ka'Chava, K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com, and use code NEWS.
Finding a hoodie that lasts through the season can be tough. The American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last year after year. Snag the hoodie that brings comfort for life. Save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20 at checkout.